Welcome to Micro College. My name is Jacob Hunt. I'm the director of Thoreau College. We're a micro college located in southwestern Wisconsin, here in the Driftless region. We're recording this at the very end of October 2025. Right now, if you're excited about micro colleges and checking out Thoreau College, we are currently accepting applications for our spring 2026 metamorphosis gap semester, as well as our fall 2026 metamorphosis gap semester, as well as our summer Driftless Field School, July 1st through August 7th, 2026. Today on the podcast, we are excited to speak with a friend of Thoreau College, a person who's visited here and helped us in various ways with our website and connecting us with folks in the wider world. This is Ivy Patton. Welcome, Ivy.
Thank you. It's so fun to be here.
Yeah. We're here today to talk about exciting new opportunity that Ivy and as well along with Blake Bowles, who has been on the podcast before, prototyped last summer in Europe. This is called Gap Year Launchpad. But first about Ivy. Ivy is the founder of Gap Year Basecamp, and she's a passionate advocate for transformative travel experiences. As a dedicated gap year counselor helping young adults plan and thrive on travel adventures around the world, she guides young people through the complexities of independent travel and helps them choose from the vast number of amazing gap programs and opportunities. After college and a decade of world travel, Ivy settled with her family in Durango, Colorado, where she's worn many hats: teacher, small business owner, summer camp founder, and ski instructor. Fueled on caffeine and enthusiasm, she's happiest when exploring on foot, wild swimming, and eating breakfast at foreign cafes.
All
So,
true.
yeah. And Ivy, as you know, here on the podcast, we always ask people about their period as young adults. So I wonder if you could take us back to when you were 18, 19, 20 years old. Where were you? What were you doing? And what stands out from that period in your life?
Okay, this is my favorite question. I think this is just a genius question that you ask of people, and I always look forward, that's why I want to listen to your podcast, is I'm always curious about people's answers. And it's probably why I love what I do, working with 18-year-olds. But it's such a time in your life, for change and for paths to split or all sorts of things. But for me personally, so I grew up in the Deep South. I grew up in Georgia, right on the Florida line, in a small town, and this was in the mid-80s when I was 18. So I really feel like we didn't have, at 18, I didn't feel like the world of possibility, really. It was assumed that I would go to college. There was no question, there was no option like, oh, you could do something different. There was certainly no gap year option. There was no option at all, really. It was before, families went on these elaborate college tour trips, where they saw, universities all over the country or were choosing, out of a big box. I'm sure people went off to other schools, but in general, that wasn't so much a thing that I remember. My dad said, "You're going." Nobody even said you're going to college. It was assumed I was going to college, and my dad said, "You're going in state." So that narrowed things down to really for me to the University of Georgia. So that's what happened. I feel like I should backtrack a little to say that. Like my childhood, like my desire for to look outside of this box and this very clear path, that was an unquestioned path, I guess to say. I'm so grateful to my mom that she gave me almost complete freedom as a child. I remember setting off most days that I wasn't in school on my bicycle, to explore, to stomp through creeks, to play in the woods, to ride my bike anywhere and everywhere. There was no safety concern. There was no There was no oversight by an adult. It was just, be back by dinner, essentially. And that's truly how I spent my childhood. And at 14, my parents, and I do think this was a little unconventional, my parents sent me and my best friend Stephanie to Europe for the summer. And to this day, my mom says that that was her biggest parenting mistake. At 14, she said, I came home and I thought I owned the world, that I had a new perspective, that I did not see things the way that I should be seeing them. I think I became rebellious at that point. I was like, oh my stars, this world is out there and now I know about it. And so that was when I got my bug, I guess you'd call it. But it wasn't something I exercised at 18 at all. And looking back, this question's interesting for me because I didn't even think to push on that. It was so ingrained in you're going to college. It was also a given that I would like join a sorority, that I would join my mother's sorority, which I did, and at the University of Georgia, and met lovely people, had some fun times, but very quickly, diverged from, I could sort of step back and be like, oh, this is strange and unusual, and probably not something that that feels right for me. So I sort of jumped out of that path in Athens, and Athens was a super in the 80s. I don't know, it's sort of cliche, but REM was in their heyday, the B-52s. It was a huge, incredible music scene. So it was a great place to be. And it was a fun school. And so I jumped out of the sorority scene. I went to work in a vegetarian restaurant and sort of never looked back. The creative Ivy was unleashed. I was an art major, and never went back to small town life, really, which I loved and appreciated because it had offered so many opportunities as a child. But that was my 18. And so from that point on, after college, I graduated. It was a struggle, looking back. Another thing we didn't recognize back then was ADD, which I'm like, I know I'm smart, I know I've got a brain, I just can't use it very well. And so that was, once I was out of college, that was sort of my new beginning. And it's I sort of joke that I met my husband at that point, and we took our retirement early and spent the next decade traveling. And so
Yeah, why
that's
wait till you're old, right? Yeah.
so that's sort of how my story starts.
Cool. Well, yeah, the early travel there, that's an interesting wrinkle given what we're going to talk about as well with you here in a moment about Gap Year Launchpad. Yeah. So I'm wondering, how you eventually heard about a gap year and like how you connected with that world. And because I think and one of the reasons that we've enjoyed meeting each other is that yeah, you have a pretty broad view of this concept of gap year and know about a lot of interesting wrinkles that are also some inspirations for us. So how did that come into your life and how did you start working in this field?
Good question. It began, I think, I don't know, I think maybe the way it happens for a lot of people who consider a gap year, you sort of look out into the world and or look out onto mainstream society and you don't see what it is that you're looking for. You might not know exactly what you're looking for. You just look out and you're not seeing it. And we were in Durango, Colorado. That's where we sort of settled to raise our children. I knew for a fact, or we both did, me and my husband, that we wanted our kids to be raised in nature, wanted them to be sort of outside of any sort of suburban bubble. And Durango was perfect. It is perfect. And my oldest child was just not thriving at school. Academically, he was doing fine, but in other ways, it fell flat for him. And he came to me one day, and this was probably in eighth grade early on, and he said, Mom, there has got to be a better use of my time. And I was like, well, I I can't argue with that. He was in a public school, and I think in Durango they're okay. You can find a good education. But there's also a lot of wasted time. And so we started looking for him in particular. He had a couple teachers that he liked, and he would go to their classes. He was struggling just with relevance, I think, like this truly a waste of time. He got a job. He was doing he was sort of taking cherry picking what he wanted. And I was like, we should send him on a abroad for something deeper and richer and to push him in this new direction. And so I started looking at programs, and I found one, and we went through a lot of, we went through a lot of hoops. He got in, and then it came down to paying for it. I was like, you know what? For the price of this, our whole family could be gone for a long time, a semester. Let's say, which is what we were looking at for him. And we'd had a family incident. My husband is one of six kids, and two of his brothers had very healthy young men had died within a year of each other, both of them of pancreatic cancer. So it was sort of a wake-up call, like, wow, you don't we don't know. And so Matt was, sort of getting over that. And I was looking at the money, and I was just like, we really could, I think we could go to, we could do something. And Matt was like, we sure can. So we rented our house, to a group of a band of gypsies is what I like to say. And we went to Central America, as a family. And so that ended up being Max's, time away. And then we did it again. We did it again the following year in Europe, and I just kept getting questions. How did you do it? How did you do it? How does one do that? And we aren't independently wealthy. There's no trust fund. There was no stream of income that made it happen. So we engineered it. And people wanted to know, how do you step away from life? And so I wrote about it a lot. I'd been a mommy blogger. I think I left that out of my bio. But I had a following, and I started writing about it. And it turns out there was a huge gap, so to speak, in that, particularly for gap years for families. But what I found is like very few people are going to do that. But gap years for young people. And as my kids were getting older, and I had a summer camp, I've always interacted with young people. I love young people. I love seeing young people, not as kids, but as true humans, And so you can look at a kid and say, I see what you're up against. I see what you're struggling with. And I also see solutions. And a lot of times, I think a gap year could be that solution. And it was just sort of an organic step from our family gap year to extreme travel planning to really looking at the gap year world. And started with the same child, sent him to Croca, sent him on tall ships, a lot of really fun stuff. And then the questions just kept coming. And because I had an audience, I kept talking. And here we are. And it's just, I can't say how firmly I believe that, if you want to call it a gap year, I've never loved that term, but that this sort of opportunity in a young person's life to forge a path that's their own, how much I believe in that.
Yeah, it's powerful that you're able to speak from such personal experience about these things, as you're advocating and you're connecting people with opportunities. Yeah, Croca was our last guest here on the podcast, so if people want to turn
Oh,
back and hear
nice.
about that, yeah, really fun, really amazing program and based in New
It
Hampshire.
really is.
So what? The category of gap year counselor, like. I think there's a big gap, as you say, between people's knowledge about other options for,
Yes.
other paths beyond the narrow one to your state college, and to what we call gap year programs or micro colleges. Many people aren't aware of that, and they aren't aware of the formal, the kind of planned or intentional gap years. And even fewer people are aware that there are people who can help you navigate this structure.
Right.
It really, it's a, one of the things I've enjoyed in my, role in trying to spread the word about our programs is getting to meet a few of these, Ivy and a few other people who are doing this work, because they are generally people who are really passionate about young people and have an adventuresome spirit. So, maybe you could just
Yes.
say a little bit about like what that work is, and like, just if people, hear this and like, gosh, yeah, I'd love to have someone to talk to. Like, what is that? How does that generally work
Right.
when you advise someone?
I can't complain, but it's a hard job sometimes in that I feel like I'm half of my job, and you might see this on your end, or maybe not. I hope you don't. Is that you're convincing people that it's okay to step off the hamster wheel and do something a little different, do something that's not conventional. So I have so many moms coming to me. And I have students coming to me, but I would say overwhelmingly it's parents that have a kid that they believe might have a different need, and really having to convince them that this is an okay choice, first of all. And it's not just okay, it's a on-ramp to a whole new program that is gonna really transform if you let it. If you buy in. And there are those who always feel like they're missing out, what am I missing? Or the other big booger is I'm getting behind. And to that, behind what? I think once at 18, once we all sort of branch out and go our different ways, there is no behind. And so, yeah, I feel like my job, and I was actually talking with a mom about this yesterday, is to push. So there are a lot of young adults who want to do something different. They don't know what, and they just sort of feel this emptiness or heaviness or like a loss that they don't have, I guess, what I would just call a plan. And when we can marry their excitement or some of even small goals that they have, with a great program like Thoreau College, a community, there's sort of a recipe to me for a really good gap year, and offer them a plan that they can get behind. It's transformational. Like overnight, they can be like, wow, I felt sort of aimless, and now I am so excited for this new thing. And it's also my job. A lot of young people come to me and they say, oh, I don't like this. I do like this. I want to go in this direction. Well, you don't know what you don't know. And so I have several sets of surveys, that are fun, actually. And I can show them what they don't know and sort of begin to say it over and over and be like, I really think you should try this. Just to push you beyond, your own field of vision. Because we don't know at 18, really. Some people have a clear vision, but even those people probably need some stretching and some growth.
Yeah, I always
So,
get concerned about an 18-year-old who's like, I've exactly figured it all out, right? And I
yes.
keep wanting to provide them experiences they wouldn't have chosen otherwise. So that's
Exactly. Yes. Or I can't stand this thing. And you'll be like, well, why? Or have you actually ever done it? And then the other thing is they'll have a strong idea about something. And I'll say, well, where'd you get that idea? And they'll be like, well, it's my girlfriend's older brother said Japan is cool, or something like that. And you're like, oh, okay. So, or Instagram, so sometimes you're leaning on weak reads there. And a little focus and direction is a beautiful thing, especially when there's so many incredible opportunities in the gap year world.
Yeah, just some introduction. I think certainly it's one of the goals of this podcast, and some of the, just introduction of people to the field that I'm doing, is that there's, yeah, so much that people aren't aware of. And I was yesterday I learned from parents of a current student who live in the city of Chicago that the city of Chicago, the Chicago Public Schools actually now has a whole gap year page on their website that they're sending people
Oh.
to, which is a really actually it was a great list. It has a the Gap Year Association. It even has WOOF and things like that. So I was
Nice.
really excited to see that because there's a lot of young people in a big
That's
public school
awesome.
system
I
like
love hearing that.
yeah. So, but yeah, that's it's important work. And also, as you mentioned, navigating the financial dimension of these things, right? Because some of these programs, the structured programs can be very expensive, and but there are some that are, will pay you, right? And finding
There
something that
are.
it's something that will work in between. My own daughter just did a very successful gap year last year in Europe and found a way to be basically funded by things she was doing, work as an au pair and stuff like that. So
That's
it's,
amazing.
yeah.
Yes, no, anyone can take a gap year. And that's what I love. And there are all sorts of interesting funding opportunities. And that's where a gap year counselor, can help. It's one of those, and there's so many, I think a lot of times people, when they get bogged down, when they Google gap year, and they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. That there were so many options. And we've talked about folk schools, just within folk schools, that's a huge, it's a deep dive of
Yeah.
lots of information. I would say the same of tall ships. You might think, oh, I want to go on a tall ship. Well, which one? What type of agenda? Are you looking for language or Erasmus or conservation or sustainability or a party ship? Or, it's endless. And do you need a scholarship to do that tall ship for free? Because that's there too. There's a lot.
And that's when you've gotten as far enough to even Google gap year, right? So
Yeah.
yeah, I'm getting very passionate about connecting with some of our local schools and people who are school counselors in rural places or in places that public schools that might not have someone but that have a has any idea about the field. So it's 'cause it does seem it's an increasing need, not a decreasing need as the disruptions continue to happen in higher education and people start to say,
I agree.
question the kind of the cost benefit, analysis of a 4-year degree, like something, this exploratory and, other forms of, forming oneself after, high school is seems really important.
Yes, absolutely.
So one of those is Gap Year Launchpad. a theme as I've been asking the question about what people were doing when they're 18 to 20 years old for the last 3 years, travel comes up very, very often. Whether that's an
Yes.
intentional thing that one did with the family, or with, or just heading out on the road and going on your own. And it's clear that that is a that's a time honored, perhaps deeply ancient way of doing a gap year or becoming an adult, going on a long trip, a vision
Yes.
quest or an adventure of some kind. And but there is, there are barriers there, practical and psychological and emotional, to doing that. So there are many of these, if you go to the Gap Year Association or a fair or something like that, many travel-based programs that are very structured. But many students that I talk to are like, I don't really want to like be in a tour group the whole time or something like that.
Right.
So it seems like my sense of Gap Year Launchpad is it is actually answering some of those questions at once. In a really fun way. So what is this Gap Year Launchpad?
So, just like you said, it's a time-honored tradition to take the trip to the continent, to Europe, and it's one of the things that I would love. But for someone who hasn't traveled, to go to Europe is, to me, it's just like lighting a fire. It's beautiful. It's safe. It's at every turn you're stimulated in a new and beautiful way. But for someone who hasn't traveled, it's not it's overwhelming. And so the Blake and I sort of came together on this, and it's so as a gap year counselor, I would say to anybody, okay, gosh, traveling Europe is a great thing. Well, it's just not for some people, yes, like your daughter, or my daughter or kids, because they've traveled, because they've done it, they have a comfort level that's they get it. They're like, okay, no problem. I'll hop on this plane, I'll get off of it, and I'll make my way wherever I need to go. It's not that way for most people. They're concerned, there are a lot of concerns. That's a lot. And so Gap Year Launchpad was a way to have an affordable trip to Europe. And in that, it's a 10-day trip. During that time, we teach you the ropes of European travel, with an emphasis on the Eurail pass and Eurail train travel, because that's the best way to get around affordably. The program came with included a Eurail pass, and really all the teachings and anything you might need to know to feel comfortable taking this on, and a group of people to potentially travel with. Some people came with their friends. Other people came solo. Some people sort of had a plan, very loose plans. But 18 kids showed up, and we taught them how to travel Europe, and the beauty of travel, the importance of travel. So many facets of, sustainable travel. How to be a good citizen and a good representative of our country abroad when we may not be a group of people that people are loving on right now. So it's sort of the full thing. And it was 10 days of workshops and learning and fun.
Yeah, I'd like to drill down into that a little bit. Just to remind folks, Blake Bowles was on the podcast earlier. His organization is called Unschool Adventures. Real leader and spokesperson in the world of unschooling. Kind of really the most open form kind of independent learning for people of all ages. And has been leading experiences in European cities and other places in the world for a number of years now. So people are interested in in his story and his work. He's published several books, and he was on the podcast a couple years ago here. Anything else you want to say about Blake's work or the how he's what he brought to this?
Blake, if I had a lost twin brother, I feel like it would be Blake. If I had to ditch my life, I'd like to just become Blake. There's just something, we were online friends for forever. Like, I don't even remember how I found him or how I came across him. But everything he's ever written, like, spoke to me, and I was like, who is this guy? And I like to connect people, and so I started, I'd see something that I thought he would like, and I'd send it to him, or I'd see somebody else saying something, and I'd say, oh, you need to meet Blake. And so, yeah, oh, he taught a class on how to run a gap year, and I did that. And then, just out of the blue, he called, and he's like, let's do this. And I was like, let's do it. That's fun. So we created the curriculum together and met for the first time the day before it started, and it was just perfect. We
That was the
like see
first time
eye
you
to eye.
met him in person.
It
Oh,
was the first time, yes,
wow.
but I truly did. I mean, I'd say for 10 years, we'd been emailing, and he's 42. I mean, so there's a big age gap there. But I've just always been a fan. So no, it was the first time we'd met, and so that was sort of funny. And I was like, "Good grief, we what if we hadn't agreed on absolutely everything?" But I think I knew that going in. So it was serendipitous, and it was so much fun.
I think and talking to I'm one of the people you've connected with Blake, and it was fun to talk to him, and just there's a spirit of possibility around his
Yes.
work and just the general idea of unschooling. The world is filled with learning opportunities and
Yes.
interesting
Yes.
people, and so plunking a group of young people ready for an adventure in the middle of a great European city is a great way to model and practice that. So the set may I was hoping maybe you could just set the scene for us in some ways. This is Brussels, right? So, first of all, yeah, I mean, Brussels, like, why was Brussels the place, and how did you settle on that?
Right. But we got that question a lot, like, why Brussels? Brussels doesn't feel like special or unique. I'd been to Brussels, but it'd been a long time, and I didn't really have any strong memories of it. Blake had spent a couple months there the previous year. It's a hub. It's sort of the heart of Europe. And on the flip side of this, I can say that, oh my gosh, Brussels is perfect. It's maybe my new favorite city in Europe. There are a lot that vie for that. But it's small, and there's especially for young people, we were in the heart of the city. We stayed in a like an education we stayed in a hostel, but it wasn't like it was more for what's the word? Educational uses, like school groups, college groups, traveling groups, more so than a party hostel. It was a tame setting, but it was in the heart of the city with cathedrals, like right outside our door, cathedral, skate park, the gardens, the park life there, the music, the dance, just across the board, the food. There's a fair amount of so English is very common there, and so that was not something we wanted necessarily, because part of our goal is to help people sort of step into using other languages.
That's really, I would say, in talking to young people, that is a very high up on the things that keeps people from doing something like this. Like,
Yes.
just like how I don't, even if they have studied French or some language that is a language of the place, they don't feel confident enough in it. I think it's a handicap of Americans in general,
It
right?
is. It is. And so Brussels is sort of an easy segue into that. And I mean, I myself would almost like it to be harder. I think we do have to try. We have to, if you feel like you're making a fool of yourself, you're probably on the right track. With bad language skills, try to learn phrases and try to speak languages. But honestly, now with smartphones and with Google Translate, there's so much. It really just, I found that people use that. But not all, and language learning, I would encourage for anybody. I think that's one of those skill sets that if internally it's such a huge blessing and a win, and you're just opening a door to a whole new world for yourself. But Brussels turned out to be perfect, long story short.
So
And
you stayed
we,
in a hostel. It sounded like, yeah, a little bit of a tamer hostel, but that certainly is like part of, going on a European adventure. That's a classic piece of it. So,
It
yeah.
is. And I found myself trying to tell, it's like, okay, you're not getting a true idea of what a hostel's like. You're gonna get to a hostel, and you're gonna love it. And they did, like a true party hostel. We also taught them how to party, and how to drink responsibly. That was actually a big part of the program. Is when you turn an 18-year-old American student loose in Europe, all of a sudden they're of age in a culture that, the beer is flowing and the wine, and Europeans obviously drink pretty responsibly, but it can be a recipe for trouble
Yeah.
with a young person who is, stretching their wings for the first time. So that was a big part of what we taught them. I don't know. They loved it. We taught it in a bar. We actually taught it in this bar called Delirium, which, if you know anything about Brussels or Belgium, Delirium is one of the biggest bars in Europe, and it takes a whole city block, and it's just crazy. And we taught them how to scaffold safely, like how to scaffold situations and how to scaffold safety. That's what I meant to say. So that if they do drink too much, if things do go wrong, if they do spiral out of control, which they did, you have something in place. You have a safety net in place. And it was great. It was great. And Blake talked to me because I'd like to even take this further. Obviously we didn't because these kids were 18, but to be able to talk openly and honestly about things that usually Americans view as being in trouble, or getting you in trouble, was really a it was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, that is a very striking and courageous thing to build into a program, and so important, right? People are going to figure it out one way or another, but to have someone actually to introduce you to it in a thoughtful way is, yeah, it's really a great gift, it seems like.
Yeah, it was interesting. And then it did, something did happen, and they did know what to do. Somebody drank too much, and it was a scene, and they did call, and I'm like, okay, we've talked about this. And you're doing the exact right thing, and y'all were with her, and all it was really nice to be able. And even one of them came to me the next morning and was like, thank you, I'm so glad I'm not in trouble. And I feel like I learned so much being able to help through all of this. So.
Yeah, I really re reading through the website for the Unschool Adventures, the Gap Year Launchpad description of this. I really appreciate how just frank and honest it was, and say like, we're going to teach you, this is going to be part of the curriculum. But this, yeah, was not a place for drunken stupidity. Like,
No.
we'll ask you to start your independent adventure earlier if that's what you're looking
Right.
for, because you can find it.
Yes.
That's
Yes.
exact language actually from the webpage.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, so but there are other things that people worry about traveling. For example, yeah, young women traveling solo, and there are other things that stop people from doing this, and those are also addressed in the 10-day kind of curriculum that you put together.
Yes. I would say, yeah, the most we ask all these young people what their biggest concern was as a traveler. That was part of the application process. And we just wanted the feedback. And safety, scams, that was a big one. But safety, they feel, I think that's something we talk about a lot in the US. There are a lot of there are a lot of things that aren't safe in the US. And it's such a different scene. And part of that's that in Europe, you're not, the car culture is so different. You're in trains, it's a different setup. But they wanted to know how to be safe, and how to avoid scams. And what was the other big one? I'd say that was it. Oh, everybody imagines that they're going to step off the plane and be mugged, I think.
Right,
And they're like,
pickpockets,
no, you're really not.
yeah.
It's just so completely different. And then one thing that I loved, in particular, is the scale of Europe is so different from the US. And that's another thing that young people don't realize. It's especially when it comes to the outdoors. And so we had a lot of young people come and give the talks, and like the Partying 101 was taught by young people. I didn't teach that. We had a 23-year-old and a 25-year-old teaching it. So, but we had a woman who, she has a website in Europe called Through Hiking, and she came and talked about human-powered adventures. And so if you're on a budget or if you're into the outdoors, and I'd say, I don't know, but 20% of our group was, the hiking trails, the trail systems, the hut to hut, there's so many, it's so much more doable there. If you wander off in Colorado, you could be, you die that night of hypothermia or would never be seen again. Whereas in Europe, you're going to come on a village pretty quickly.
Yeah. I feel like
And
maybe a
so,
lot of people don't think about that when traveling to Europe. They think about museums and cathedrals and big
right.
cities. But yeah, there is a it's walkable and bikeable, and
Oh,
there are
it's
beautiful
so
mountains,
walkable.
and yeah.
Yeah. And they're the sort of the more common things like the Camino, and all its many different iterations, but there's so many amazing trail systems. And so she spoke on that, and sort of challenging yourself physically in that way in Europe. And how, just how much more doable, it's not so epic. You can start walking and reach a village, and stay for the night for a fraction of the cost that you could in the US. Things are so much more accessible, whether in a city or in the mountains. So that was a fun thing to share.
So as you mentioned, so you do this the description I really liked of the launch pad program is 10 intensive days of training and playing, right? And play is
Yes.
definitely like an important part of this, as we've heard, as well as some important information. But that's just the first 10 days of a longer adventure for most of these
Yes.
participants, right? So they part of the fee for the program is a URL pass, and then also you're meeting some people you might travel with. Can you talk about how that worked, and then what happened after the 10 days?
Yeah. So, yeah, the whole thing was to build up, to plan, aside from the workshops that we were offering, we were also offering, if you wanted to stay gone, your gap year counselor was there. If you wanted to stay gone all year, we would talk about that. What can we do? How can we make this work, within the Schengen? And so that was a big one. If you wanted to plan a whole gap year, but if you just wanted to plan your European adventure, we're going to do that too. So we had check marks along the way. Okay, where are you going? Let's make your first, sort of your first week. Let's look at that and then plan out a bigger program. And most kids, I'd say about 10 of them sort of traveled as a group. Not necessarily always together, but they met up along the way. They started, most either went to Cologne or Amsterdam, if I'm remembering correctly, how they started their trips, but ended up in the south of France. And I think part of that, Blake had gone to the south of France. And another one of our trip leaders, Iris, had gone to the south of France and then Switzerland, which I thought was interesting. So there was a whole lot of France and Switzerland happening. And really, we had a WhatsApp group going, and for 2 weeks they could check back in and we would advise and, give tips, or they'd be like, oh my gosh, my URL pass, I accidentally, charged six trips on it or whatever. But we could talk them through, whatever scenario they were struggling with. But the group could also talk each other through, or come see us, or, it was the community that formed was really nice.
Yeah, that's an amazing resource. Yeah, I mean, just right away, there's a lot of things about what you're describing that are new and genius, and that just having that network, both
Yeah.
experienced travelers but also peers, sharing, cool finds, like this is a cool place, but also about
Exactly.
working through challenging situations and just keeping, just sharing your adventures with someone is it helps you to have the adventure, right?
Right. 100%. And so, no, I feel like they all, it was, you could just see their eyes. You could like, and this gives me goosebumps, but you could just see them awakening, like a full body awakening to the possibility of life, sort of in the microcosm of Europe. And that was so fun. And especially maybe kids that were a little more sheltered, or sort of unsure of everything, and then to be completely embraced and accepted. And see, Blake, if he were sitting here, he would tell me to watch my words. Not completely. Everybody has their own struggles, but the majority really blossomed. And one thing that came to light, and I thought it was a really good takeaway, is most of these kids had vacationed before and they'd never traveled, and they began to make that distinction. And that travel can actually be really hard. And it can, the highs and lows of travel are very real. And that was some of the times that we heard from people like, ugh, I'm feeling low. I'm sick. You're probably not eating right. You probably drank too much. You're probably not drinking water. You're probably burning your candle at both ends. Like we could all look at it together and also acknowledge that a travel low is absolutely 100% normal. You know, I mean, when I'm traveling, I have, you take it
Culture
off your head.
shock, homesickness.
Oh, culture shock, totally. Feeling overwhelmed. Exactly.
I certainly, I mean, even people coming from, California to Wisconsin, or they're
Right.
like, they're just to have someone say, yeah, that's normal, right? That's what you're experiencing.
Totally
It's not, it
normal.
is so helpful.
Yeah. And that was a huge part of it all. And even in Brussels, like we had a couple days, I would say it was day three when people were finally like, they were recovered from jet lag. They were sort of back into their bodies and back into feeling strong and grounded again. You know, it takes a while. And we talked about that. We talked about it a lot. A lot of check-ins, a lot of highs and lows, because that's true travel. It's not a vacation. Vacation, somebody else planned and you're relaxing. And this is, it's hard work. And it's work. One of the classes I taught was like, how might this fit into my resume? Well, it really does, because there are not many 18-year-olds who have, taken on something this difficult and planned the logistics and the budget and the, all these aspects, and overcoming a lot of barriers to make it happen. So I was super proud of all of them, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, I think this is where, another place of that. So the unschool perspective that Blake is bringing, comes into play. Like this is obviously education, right? This
It
is,
is.
so many different ways, from the practical to the cultural to the social. If you're thinking about it that way, that also contextualizes the hard moments, right? Because if you're studying for a test, or like, you're studying thing in school, like, the hard part is understood. But if you're, if you can frame what you're experiencing out on the Eurorail route
Right.
out there, then, and as an educational experience, it also helps it to be assimilated into to be something that, builds you up rather than kind of wears you down.
100%.
Explain it to people back home too.
Well, exactly. And you may think, oh, that, I mean, what's an example of just walking into a hostel and making friends, which is sort of easy. I think a hostel is the easiest place in the world to connect, because everybody there wants to connect. They want to eat dinner with somebody or go, tour whatever with somebody. And to have the skill of being able to put yourself out there over and over and over. And that was such a fun thing to see on our WhatsApp and on their Instagram accounts, honestly, is them meeting people from all over the world. Because that was really one thing, we're like, do, set your phones down, set aside your fears, set aside anything that, that you've learned at your gaming console or whatever, and put yourself out there. And to see them, with their new set of friends was really fun out in the world, new outside of our group.
Yeah,
Very
totally
fun.
paradigm shifting for sure. So it sounds like you're going to do this again.
Gonna do it again. Brussels again next summer. And fall, I'm still working on my in a perfect world, if I get the lodging just like I want it will be San Sebastian, Spain, which is
Beautiful
a
city.
fantastic spot, with lots of things to spiral out and do. And that would be for 3 weeks.
Sometime in the fall.
Yes.
And so also it sounds like you're thinking about a very different but a related kind of idea of doing a something in the wilderness, or something in Colorado.
Yeah, sort of this similar to, it would be sort of an intro to a gap year. You can hire me as your gap year counselor. The way I see it is this: you can hire me as your gap year counselor, and we'll Zoom and we'll talk and we'll throw ideas back and forth, or you can do one of my trips, and they cost about the same. So why not do the trip? But for I would love to do an unplugged, like 10-day camping, with some fun, Utah, Colorado, mountain, desert components, where we really talk gap year. And we do it with.
It's been a conversation here. We have one of our recent program participants just completed the Camino, has been reporting back, from that experience. And it's been a few other past Thoreau students have done that. It was one of our lunchtime conversations in the past week about, that type of a travel experience, which is, it combines, as we were saying, the physical challenge of a long hike with the cultural experience of, visiting towns and villages and museums and cathedrals along the way, versus kind of the classic North American experience of, let's say, the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail. And definitely, like, the students here, like, they're kind of split. They're like, oh, that one appeals to me and the other doesn't in those ways. So it does seem like getting ready to go on a long hike in a more, a less developed or, mountainous area of North America has other, like, things that one could be taught, about, where do you how do you plan for water, and how do you read a map, and the other things. There's It's a little bit, maybe more rigorous sometimes in terms of physical challenge, but there's also people who do it independently or in small groups all the time that it can be learned from experience like this.
And I do th I love the idea of a sort of a walkabout, European also. That's something I always recommend to anybody. My daughter just did the Camino, or she did it when she turned 18 on the Camino. And it was terrible until it was wonderful, sort of one of those things.
I mean, so that's a great example. That's been going on for, well over 1,000 years. And probably deep into prehistory too, something like it. So I really enjoyed learning about Gap Year Launchpad, and it seems like I'm excited to tell more young people that I know about it, because it's, it meets a bunch of questions that I've had from people who are, like, kind of interested in traveling, but they don't know how to start. And yeah, it just sounds like a fun, lot of
Oh, well, send them my way, and I'll keep
fun.
sending people your way.
So yeah, I think we'll put the link to your organization. Your business is the Gap Year Base Camp. And that's probably the best place to find out about next year's programs right now. Great. So thank you for sharing with us about it, Ivy.
Thank you. Thank you.